Hey, you know me. It's Dr. Cheryl Bryant-Bruce, MD, and you are here with Chatters That Matter. Let's talk about it. I am here in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is Super Bowl weekend, and unfortunately, my Niners didn't quite do it, but it was one heck of a game. We have had a wonderful Super Bowl party here at my brother's place. The amazing Kurt BV has had some really super interesting guests, and I've been able to interview a number of them tonight. And here with me is a not just a Las Vegas legend, but a worldwide music legend,
Yes.
Mr. Jimmy Holland. Welcome to Chatters That Matter, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thank you. Very glad to be here.
Oh, no. So you have got a lot of experience in the music industry. Tell me when you started and some of that.
Okay. Well, I started in the industry. I was actually about 13 years old.
Just a kid.
What had happened, I was with a group. And we had applied to Budweiser Showdown.
Okay.
Budweiser had a showdown that went around the country, and you had to submit your music to Budweiser. And our music was a cappella.
Nice.
So there was five of us in the a cappella group,
Okay.
and we created a song called Disco A Cappella.
Okay.
So what we did is we submitted it to the program, and after the program was judged, one Saturday morning, my sister woke me up about 8 in the morning. She said, "Jimmy, they're playing your record on the radio." I said, "What? They're playing this Waka Pillow on the radio."
And you were 13 years
I'm
old.
13 years old, and we won. So by winning, we got a chance to go to this dance program that was in Washington, D.C., that was mascoted by a DJ named Moon Man. And it was called Soul of the City. That was the name of the dance program.
Was it kind of like a soul train sort of a
It was kind
thing?
of like Soul Train, called Soul of the City.
Okay.
And we went on there. And from there, we met this producer named Jay McZeal, who came from LA to Baltimore to do some recording, and he recorded us. Well, while in the studio, we ran into some other people that Jay was working with. He was working with some of the guys from Funkadelic.
Wow. Oh,
Yeah, Parliament.
so you went big quick.
Yes.
Dang.
We were there and we did some work with them. And then I
Now,
joined
what
the
was
group.
that like working with Funkadelic?
It was amazing because we were there and were judged on our talent. We were young, we were learning how to act. Learning what the business was all about. Nobody drank, nobody smoked, nobody got high. It was no cigarettes and no beer in the studio. It was none of that. It was strictly music. And learning what it entailed to reach the heights that they had reached. They had the song Fence Walk and, well, Fence Walk was Man Drill. But they had the song, "You can get the roller skating ring." Oh my gosh. I'm hearing it in my mind, but I'm trying to call the name of it right now. Well, anyway, at that time they were pretty happening. So after that, I joined a group called the Soft Tones.
Okay.
We did six albums and two world tours.
Okay.
We were on the same label with the Stylistics.
And how old were you at this time?
I was 19 then.
Okay.
I was 19. And I was with Soft Tones for 8 years. I produced the last single that we did. And while we were with the Soft Tones, we had a manager named Ralph Cook. Well, Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler were fighting in Las Vegas. So the manager decided to take the group to Las Vegas. He said, "I'm taking y'all to Las Vegas." So he brought us to Las Vegas. So when we got here, I went into the Riviera, and there was a young lady named Ellen Silver playing the piano at the Riviera. And I'm sitting there, and a lot of the songs that she was doing, I was singing. She said, "You know these songs?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Come on up here on stage with her." Okay. I went up on stage with her and sat in for two sets.
Wow.
So then,
it wasn't just one or two songs.
So I sat in for two sets with Ellen Silver. So Ellen says, "Well, Jimmy, if you come back out here, I'll talk to my manager and see if I can get you some work." So we went back to Baltimore. We did another dance single with the Soft Tones. I produced it. It was called "Listen to Your Heartbeat."
Oh, I remember that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the producer of it was named Patrick Adams.
Okay.
He did Dana Dane, the Clubber Girls, Salt and Pepper, Every D and the Boys,
right,
and LL Cool J.
LL Cool J.
Yes.
You know.
This was up in New York.
Okay.
Queens, Long Island City.
Right. So now you're really playing in the big league.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're how old here? You're
19.
Okay, so you're still 19.
Yes.
And
well, during the course of I was with the Soft Tones for 8 years, so
right,
this was toward the end of me being with them after 8 years. So I guess I was about maybe 27.
Okay.
At the time.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you know, you just kind of, from the time you were 13, you've been progressively stepping up bigger and bigger.
Yes.
And I mean, I think one of the things to point out here is, even though you started quite young and you had some good breaks early, we're talking about from 13 to 27. So this is not an overnight thing. These kids get the impression, because people hit these stages and they have these hits and all, and they think that it happened overnight, because you don't see all the years of work that go into it.
You got to stay dedicated, and you got to avoid distraction. There's a lot of distraction in the business. So what you have to do is concentrate on what you want to do. In fact, one of the things that we were told to do was take a pencil and paper and write down your goals. Write down the goals that you want to accomplish yearly, what you want to accomplish in a couple of months, that you want to accomplish that particular day.
Would you rather cheat one that way or one where they just it was like
a match?
My producer left the chair. They earned that. That's why I'm
okay.
He'll run it as a lie, but he'll have the results.
All right.
All good this
figure his house is probably not going to steal each other's stuff.
That's right. Well, get your behind me, boys. I learned to keep my mouth shut. I'm serious, because I'm real different. And I know I'm different.
Well, you're under stripes.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, especially if I got myself equipment, I'm going to show. I'm not trying to be here all night. I'm not trying to be here forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get the shot.
Okay.
Yeah. So, should we continue?
Okay. And you were just saying,
Now, yeah, what you would want to do is get a pencil and paper and write down the accomplishments you want to achieve and give yourself a certain time to do it. So when you write down the accomplishments you want to achieve, you take them one step at a time. You take one thing on that paper and you approach that. Everything that's related to making that come to fruition, that's what you work with.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that doesn't correspond to that, you get rid of.
So goal,
distraction,
time management.
Exactly.
Take out all of the distractions.
You take out the distractions.
So you learned this at a very young age.
Yeah, I was taught that. Because when I was doing the Soft Tones, I had a goal in my mouth. You know, and I was, like I said, I was 19,
mm-hmm.
And they literally had to teach me how to smile, because I didn't know how to smile.
Yeah.
And they also taught me, they said, when you open your mouth to sing, tell the story and make them believe it.
Right.
So if they said, if you're not going to do that, don't sing. So that's what I learned. And it was always serious. You know, it was fun, but it was also serious.
Yes.
In fact, the very first rehearsal that I had with Sawtones, it was wild. I go to the rehearsal. They got a full live band, lead, bass, drum, keyboards, horn section, percussionists, and it was three singers besides myself.
Okay.
But the very first rehearsal, I didn't sing a note. Oh, I'm sitting there watching. And at the end of the rehearsal.
That was the training portion.
Yes. And at the end of the rehearsal, the leader of the group came to me and he had the album in his hand. And it was What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. He said, I need you to take this album home. And the song, What's Going On, I need you to learn it.
Okay.
Come back the next rehearsal, which is 2 days from now. I took the album home, I learned the song, I come back in the rehearsal, I'm the first one up. The band starts playing the song, I start singing the song, I know all the words, and I'm in the middle of the song, and the leader stopped me. He said, hold it, right there. He said, bring me that album cover. So I walk over with the album cover, and I'm holding it, and this is the cover that Marvin Gaye has on, like it's plastic coat. Uh-huh. And it's like right. Raining.
Right.
And he's like looking up in the rain. And right. He's got a look on his face.
I remember this.
And the leader said to me, he said, look at this man. What is he thinking? I said, huh? He said, what is he thinking? He's asking the question, what's going on? So I looked, I said, yeah, he's wondering about the Vietnam War. He's wondering about what's going on in the world with hunger and famine. I said, yeah. He said, look, I need you to sing this song. Make me believe it. So now here I am, 19 years old. I started singing the song. Midway through the song, I got tears rolling. I'm crying. Tears were rolling.
Connected with the song.
And when he saw the tears, he said, that's what I'm talking about. He said, every time you open your mouth to sing, that's what I want to see.
You have to connect.
Yes.
You have to connect. Now, would you say that we've kind of lost some of that? I think we're getting back to it. But have we kind of lost some of that grooming and training with
yes.
young artists?
We've lost a lot of it because we have people in the industry that want to run stuff that don't know how it's done.
Right.
Singing is not just about hitting the notes.
Right.
You can do with singing with a whisper as yes. much as a shout.
Yes.
So it's all about the emotion. Singing is emotion.
Say that again.
Singing is emotion. So if you're singing and hitting all the notes with all the pretty runs, it don't mean nothing if the person can't feel it.
That's right. It's the communication.
That's the reason you go to a Patti LaBelle show and people are just crying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
You know, when you go to a Luther Vandross show, people are, they're in tears. Teddy Pendergrass, because they knew how to feel the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token,
they felt the emotion because they felt the emotion. They caused you to feel that emotion.
Exactly.
And you connected on that emotion. And I mean, you know, when you think about it, people can say a million words and there will be no action. There will be no connection with it, no feeling. People connect with that emotion.
Yes. Yes. That's the whole thing about being a performer. That's why you got some performers that are major and some of them are minor,
right.
and some got some in the minor leagues that sing circles around some of the one in the majors hitting the notes, but they don't have the emotion. Perfect example, James Brown. Perfect emotion. Sometimes you couldn't even understand what he said, but it didn't matter.
Connected with those songs.
It didn't matter what he said. It was the way he said it, and you know he meant it when he said it.
Absolutely, and you knew exactly what he meant.
Exactly. So that's the whole thing with that. You know, if you're going to be an artist and you want to become a performer and you want to reach people, you got to believe it yourself. Then you make them believe it. But if you're not going to believe it yourself, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Sing karaoke.
There you go.
But if you want to hit the majors and do like what Usher did here in the Super Bowl, it was phenomenal. But notice what he did. He called on his friends. He wasn't there by himself. He called on his friends.
Absolutely. And then they all put out.
They all were phenomenal.
And I mean, you know, and they were connected. They were communicating with each other. I mean,
It's a team sport, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no individuals. It's a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to know when to lead and you got to know when to back up.
That's right.
Now, being a performer, if you can't sing background and follow somebody, then you can't lead.
That's right.
A good leader will always be able to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way
that's
that goes.
Whether it's music or,
yes,
or business or the military.
Right.
A good leader has to know how to follow.
Yes.
And a good leader has to know how the folks that he is leading or she is leading, how they feel, what they're doing, what their pain is.
They need to have a plan, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to stick to the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Do not get distracted. You don't need a 40.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need marijuana, mm-hmm, or cigarettes. You don't need that.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because you have not just a decade of history. You have 5 decades, basically, of history behind you in the entertainment industry, working with some major, major players. And, you know, people think, oh, well, when you're involved in the entertainment industry, you know, you have to do the booze, you have to do the drugs. It's part of the culture. Have you ever done this? I mean,
And I've been on stage with George Clinton, okay, mm-hmm, and we know George Clinton, what he likes,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on stage with Neil Diamond, I've been on stage with Kenny G,
uh-huh,
I've been on stage with the Spinners, Temptations, Ray Goodman and Brown,
mm-hmm,
Stylistics, so, and I mean, I've performed with them.
Absolutely.
You know, but they also realize that I do my job.
Yes.
When I hit the stage, there's no problem. I don't have to be told how to act.
Right.
I don't have to be told when my part comes up because I know it.
Right.
You got to study. Young people, you got to study. You got to study.
Have to have that professionalism. Have to have that discipline.
Yes.
Now, I mean, the music industry is a tough industry, but I have a sense. I mean, you know, the music industry has always eaten people alive.
Right.
It's not an easy industry, but it feels to me like people have better coping skills. And I think that part of it is that training, that grooming,
yes,
that they were being given.
Yes.
Do you see a big difference between then and now?
Yeah, the big difference is a lot of the training and grooming has gone to the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that are running the industry these days, some of them, they're all about the money.
Right.
And the money doesn't teach you how to act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know about, you know, you can hit the notes, but it's not about singing the song. It's one thing. It's one thing to hit the notes. It's another thing to sing.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta sing the song.
You gotta sing the song.
Exactly. You gotta sing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what's important, and the discipline comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I was taught, young people, get dressed. Do not come to the stage in jeans and a t-shirt. It don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Not if you're planning on trying to make this your living.
Mm-hmm.
People appreciate when you dress up for them.
Mm-hmm. The effort.
And smile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Pay attention to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I've dealt sometimes with artists that got all the talent in the world, couldn't stand in front of an audience because they couldn't stand to look at the audience. But the minute someone in the audience has a negative frown on their face, they begin to be upset.
Yes. Yeah. This whole dis culture. He or she is disrespecting me.
Right.
And so I'm going to stop my concert.
Yeah.
And address that.
Yeah.
For me, that feels so unprofessional.
Yeah.
Like, if he or she is disrespecting you in the front row,
ignore.
You don't see that person. You've got an entire theater
right.
full of people that you are performing for. They pay good money to see you do
exactly.
your best.
Exactly.
Why let one fool in front?
You've got 500 people in the audience,
mm-hmm.
and you focus on the one lady down front that's frowning.
Mm-hmm.
Look at someone else. Look at your band members.
Right.
Pay your attention somewhere else, because the minute you pay attention to what's going on out there with that person that's in a negative mode, it affects you, and everybody can see it.
Yes, absolutely.
They're going to hear it, and they're going to see it.
Absolutely.
That's not how you make your money. You want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do a concert just once.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be called back. And those people are going to be the ones that have you come back.
And the audience is going to remember that you took the high road, and that in spite of this idiot in the front row
right.
acting up,
right.
you still gave them the show of their lifetime.
Exactly.
They are going to remember that. They are going to appreciate that. They are going to relate that to everyone. Man, they had a knuckle tied up in the front, but the show they put on, in spite of, it's a progression.
You know, I was talking to a comedian a couple of weeks ago that had a hack heckler in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this woman was just heckling him something awful.
Mm-hmm.
He's going back and forth with this lady, tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
People got up, started walking out.
Because it seems to be funny.
I told him after the show, I says, why did you even deal with her?
Mm-hmm.
You say something once and then you move on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give them your microphone. You don't give them your attention.
You don't give them your power.
He says, well, I just wanted to win. I say, well, the minute you won was when the room got full.
Mm-hmm.
When people paid to come in and see you, you already won.
And she won when you continued to engage with her,
exactly.
and you lost your audience.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
An audience that won't be back.
That's right.
Because they remember, and they're going to tell everybody that they know.
Tell their friends. And they're going to tell their friends.
So you just lost a whole bunch
mm-hmm.
trying to make up for what this person was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let that go. You know, when I first got here to Vegas, like I said, I sang with Ellen Silver there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't immediately get into a group or start performing at the different venues up and down the strip. At that particular time, this is 1991, they had bands in the strip and in the lounges.
Right.
Okay. They also had karaoke contests.
Okay.
So now, the very first karaoke contest I got in, I wound up coming in second place
okay.
to a guy that I think I should have easily won. But I realized I'm brand new. So I got to come extra heavy. This guy has been going to this particular contest, and he's been winning every week for the last 6 weeks. So when I show up, they get him.
You really have to unseat him because he's the reigning champion, and you've got to take the belt from
him. So the next week, I showed up, suit and tie. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I picked a popular song, sang the song, and I won. Mm-hmm. I won 8 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. It was at the San Remo. I won 8 weeks in a row. And they said, Jimmy Holland, you can't be in the contest anymore. You got to come back as a special guest and come back for the finals. Well, I went back and won the finals too.
Excellent.
So it's like you got to stay current, but you also got to practice your craft.
Right.
You know, you got to know what makes you a winner.
Right.
The fact I show up and I'm dressed in a different suit every time they see me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of the times I had a tuxedo on
mm-hmm.
just to do the karaoke performance.
Mm-hmm.
So I win when I step on stage and grab the mic before I even open my mouth.
And the young people today, they have their culture and they have a look and they say, oh, you know, that's kind of old fashioned to be dressed like this and everything. But what I've noted is that when one of them does dress up, we all love it.
Perfect example. Look at us.
Mm-hmm.
What he had on was phenomenal.
He was just on it. He was so on point. And then he
Coolio.
Would go back and change it.
Not Coolio, Ludacris.
Ludacris.
Little John. Mm-hmm. They were dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the way Alicia Keys was dressed.
Oh my gosh. Alicia Keys, she filled it with that outfit. And the whole flowing thing that matched the flowing piano. She killed
there
that.
There were no jeans and tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even when Usher put the roller skates on,
uh-huh.
it was no jeans yes. and tennis shoes.
Yes. Yes.
He was dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Young people, that's what you got to do.
He came to play the game, not just to play it, but to win it. And he killed it.
And there's one thing I want to say to a lot of the young men these days. Pull your pants up. Act like you got some sense.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you knew the real reason why people walked around with their pants hanging off like that, you wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want it. I had to tell my son. He wondered why he couldn't get a job. Dad, I applied for the job and they just never called me back. I said, how did you go? You went like that with your pants hanging down, showing your underwear. Nobody wants to see your underwear. I said, now, do you know the reason it's like that? He said, I don't know. I said, well, we got a couple of reasons. One reason is usually the younger person in the family gets hand-me-downs from the big brother. He can't fit the big brother's clothes, but he wears the pants anyway, so they're hanging off him.
Mm-hmm.
He don't have a belt to put on. He's not going to wear suspenders, so they hang off. Now, there's another reason. That's when people would go to jail. They would take your belt from you so you wouldn't hang yourself and hurt yourself. Now your pants hanging because you don't have a belt. Now, for either one of those reasons, is that the reason you want to walk around with brand new pants you done bought that were too big to hang off your self like that? I said, what does that say? Who do you think going to hire you for that?
Mm-hmm.
So pull your pants up, put a belt on, put on some suspenders, act like you got some sense.
And even if you say, well, this is the cultural thing, and this is what we do today, do you really? Is that what Usher did?
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Is that what Lucas did?
Right, right.
They came to play
and prepared.
They meant it.
Yes.
You know, they brought out their best dress.
Yes.
And they made a statement when they hit that stage.
Yes.
You know.
And these were some of the top artists in the industry. Ludacris, as far as with hip hop. Okay, Little John,
mm-hmm.
hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Alicia Keys.
It was.
You got to dress up.
I was so proud of them. They were following in some big footsteps, and I've been kind of following the talk, over the past few weeks as we were leading up to this, and it was almost like they were questioning whether Usher was ready to do this.
Right.
And Usher was like, "I'm ready. I'm bringing my A game. I've got my best game. There's no doubt in my mind."
He was taught and he was groomed.
Exactly. Usher knew what he was doing.
Yes, he did.
He knew what that end goal was, and he knew how to get there. And he brought it.
And he brought his friends.
Mm-hmm. And he brought his friends, and they came correct.
And I like the idea of the school band. You see the school band that was there?
I loved the idea of the school band.
With the school band on the field? Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal.
I absolutely loved it.
But young people, that's the way you need to go.
Exactly.
That's what you need to think about. It's not an I, me thing. Mm-hmm. It's a we thing. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to that, look yourself in the mirror. Look at your people that are around you that want to participate with you. That's all you got.
Exactly.
That's all you got.
Exactly. And if your people that you're bringing with you are bringing their A game, they're dressing the part, they're showing the discipline, then you're going to have the success. But if you're dealing with clowns around you that, they think that they are just going to show up and become overnight successes, you aren't going to get very far.
No.
Because it takes...
You're going to get your feelings hurt.
Day in and day out. And it doesn't happen overnight. Even if it looks like it happens overnight. That is such a rare thing. It's like the needle in the haystack.
It's dedication.
You don't see the hours and days, weeks, years, decades that it takes. There are very few artists out there that make it and haven't had at least a decade.
Yes.
And most of them will tell you, we had a conversation with Busy Bee. Busy Bee's like, I've been out here a million years before I hit,
Right.
It takes time, and not just time, but the dedication of putting in the work day in, day out, even when you don't feel like doing it.
Right.
When there's something else going on that looks like more fun or may feel more lucrative. Because, let's face it, some people are making big money in the entertainment industry, but the majority of artists are not making huge money.
No.
They're in it for the love.
Right.
And if they don't hit huge financially, doesn't matter because they're rich, because they loved what they did.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that applies to anything in life. A lot of times we may fall into something because we feel like that's what our parents want, or that's what society wants, or that's what the definition of success is. But if you don't love it, at the end of the day, your life isn't going to be very full.
Right.
But if you have something that you're passionate about, that you love, if you wake up every morning, when you wake up, music is in your heart, then you're a musician. And whether you make big money from it or not, the part of you that makes you rich.
And another thing that makes you rich is your health. You need to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Okay? If you find yourself in a position, perfect example. Joe Jackson used to bring his groups through my recording studio. Mm-hmm. And he had a Filipino group that he would bring to the recording studio, and we recorded an album. So after one of the actual recording sessions, Joe says, "Come on, Jimmy, taking everybody out." So we come out of the studio, there's a limo. We all pile in the limo. We go down the strip in Las Vegas, and we go to one of the night spots. I'm not calling the name, but we go to one of the night spots.
Not promoting
that. When you get to the door, you can hear the music vibrating through the door. Joe gets everybody in. He looks at me and says, come on, Jimmy, come on in. I says, Joe, I can't go in there. He says, why? I say, I make my living with my ears. That music is too loud.
Right.
I can't do that. Right. I'll be sitting out here waiting when y'all come back out. You go in and have a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't go in there because I make my living with my ears. So you've got to look out for your health. You can't do something that is not going to be conducive to you having a healthy life just because somebody else does it. Because they chop up cocaine. You can't do cocaine just because you're sitting there with them. They smoking reefer. You don't have to smoke the reefer. You don't have to drink the 40. You don't have to do that. But you can still be in their company. I've been in the company of all of them. And I've never had a problem. You just got to be yourself. You get respected for being yourself. Absolutely. You get respected for keeping your health the way that you want it. Because you've got to be healthy in this game. Because doing a 90-minute show is not easy. It's it's like running a marathon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then when you're doing it night after night after night, exactly. You see these people on tour, and I mean, the fans get furious
with them
because, you know, okay, she's on a big tour. I paid this big money to see this big artist, and they're canceling the show because they're sick or because they're tired. That stuff is grueling.
Right.
You know?
And that doesn't happen that often that they're going to have you back.
That's right.
When I was in Greece, I was at the Regency Casino with the Temptation Act. We were there for 15 weeks, 7 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
We did a 45-minute show, 7 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you better be prepared every night.
Absolutely. And then sometimes you do two shows on the same day. We do that at a matinee show.
Yes, yes. And meeting and weeding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then you're on the road, you may have a rehearsal thrown in there. So it's a grueling schedule. So for all of you out there thinking that you want to go into entertainment, it looks like celebrity, fame, fortune, the whole bit, and you're just going to roll in there because you're fabulous, think again.
It's work.
Think again. It's hard work. And you may not hit it big. The odds are you are not going to hit it big, so you better love what you do.
And another thing you need to realize is called show business. So now you may do the show, but you need to learn the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason a lot of a few major artists that have had multi-platinum hits wind up broke. Because they didn't do the business.
Mm-hmm.
They were so distracted in one way, shape, or form, whether it was the beer or the reefer or the cocaine or the women or the men,
mm-hmm.
that they didn't pay attention to the business. So the people that were handling them, so-called managers,
mm-hmm.
gathered all their money that they'll never get. You've got to learn the business.
Part of learning that business is learning how to maintain your health. You have to maintain your health. And here we have stepping into the film.
What's good?
Busy.
Out here with Chatters That Matter and Sis doing her thing out here in Las Vegas, the entertainment capital of the world. And I just stopped by to holler at my main man, Jimmy Holland. And to let y'all know, if you're talking showbiz, listen to what this man has to say. I've been in the business a long time, produced many artists, been around a lot of celebrities, local and international. And when I get to meet and learn from a gentleman of this caliber, I be quiet and I listen. I'm quiet and I listen. These are the legends. You hear me when I'm telling you? Local artists, international artists, young artists of today, when you get a chance to hear what gentlemen like this have done in this industry, have met in this industry, have been a part of and collaborated in this industry, you have to listen because it's going to give you a broader understanding of this industry. I've had the incredible pleasure of being in the studio with Mr. Jimmy Holland, and I've learned so much about production, about sound, about engineering from this man. So I am humbled to be in his presence whenever I'm in his presence. So Mr. Jimmy Holland, from one of the OGs to the triple OGs, blessings, continued success. Man, and I look forward to continue to learn from you, brother. Thank you for your commitment to R&B and to the music industry in its whole.
Thank you, Kurt.
And I'm going to give my brother his flowers, because while he's talking about someone to learn from, I mean, this is one of the biggest, finest instructors. He's helping these young people to come in the business. He's doing some of that grooming and training that we have been talking about at the artist meeting, and he's showing them the discipline.
And my trial and error through that is from the lessons this gentleman here, this legend here, have learned from the 60s, 70s on up. And those lessons will propel you through this industry, through what it takes to really tighten in your show, your sound, your production, and your team. And I'm honored to be in your presence, sir. I didn't mean to crash y'all's interview. Y'all stay cool. Chatters that matter. The celeb doc, I'm out. 100.
Thanks, Curtis.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
So you have heard it. You have heard it from some of the greats. And, you know, as Curtis was saying, triple OJ in the industry, 50 years worth of experience, wisdom, and knowledge, and he's been dropping it here today. And again, it's one of those things that he's dropped is that you have to maintain your health, and part of maintaining your health is being attentive to what you consume. And he is the living proof that the drugs and alcohol don't have to be a part of it. And I'm not saying that you can't drink, you know, but it doesn't have to rule your life because you're in the industry. And if you keep your mind healthy, then you can stay in the game.
Yes.
As long as this man has, because, you know, he's been in the game for 50 years, but he's not retired.
No.
He is still in the game, hitting hard. And this is what it takes to have that longevity, to have that real success. And I mean, hats off to you.
Well, thank you.
We are.
Hats off to you for bringing this to this is what's needed. Because as we said earlier, a lot of the grooming and instruction that a lot of the younger people need, they don't get. Right. There's no way for them to get it unless we give it to them. We have to create, I thank you for creating a platform that they can actually turn on Chatter That Matters and find out what I need to do.
Right, right.
What can help me get to the next level.
Right. And then we're talking music to them, but these basic principles are the things that you can utilize in any realm of business.
Universal.
Not just business, but in life. Because life requires that same kind of dedication. Life requires that same kind of discipline. And something that you said earlier was that you have to have a plan. You have to have a goal, because otherwise you're just kind of randomly riding down the road. And if you don't know where you're going, how are you going to get there?
Exactly.
So, you know, we appreciate that drop of wisdom. And again, it can be used in any walk of life. So these things that we're talking about with Chatters That Matter, even though it may be focused in music or any kind of other area, these are life lessons that we're talking about. And these are things that we need to really thrive, because we don't want to go through life just surviving. We right. want to have a fulfilled, purposeful life.
Exactly.
And there we have. And so if you have one golden nugget that you want to leave them with, what would be that final golden nugget?
Well, the final golden nugget I would leave you with, young people, is surround yourself with people that think like you. In other words, if you are someone that's real adamant about success, surround yourself with people that are adamant about success. Picture it like this. You're in a rowboat. You got your friends with you in a rowboat. On the other shore is success. You begin to paddle. But if you got somebody in the boat that's not paddling, they just dead weight. So if they don't want to help paddle, they need to get out of the boat.
Right.
Take the people that paddle, and the more of you that paddle, the quicker you get to the other side. That's what you need to remember. Surround yourself with the proper people. You know right from wrong. You know right from wrong. And you know the people that are right and wrong. Surround yourself with the people that are doing right to help you get where you want to be.
And there you have it. So we have had the spectacular Jimmy Holland dropping knowledge. Jimmy, if people want to reach you, I mean, because again, you have this tremendous wisdom. I'm sure there are people who would love to have you as a speaker. And you know, you're doing a lot of other things. How will they connect?
Well, you can reach me through my email. It's kirkadeenmusic@yahoo.com. Now I'm going to spell it because usually people spell it wrong.
Right.
It is KerkadeenMusic, music, MUSIC, at yahoo.com.
And we will put that up on the site. Hurricane will put that up on the site. So if you didn't catch it, it will be there. And again, just as always, if you need to reach him and you don't have that information, you can always reach out to Hurricane or myself, and we will make sure that we connect with him. He does not have social media, so this is the way that you are going to need to reach him. But we do have social media, so again, you can always, you know, DM us, and we'll make sure that you get to it. So you've been listening to Chatters That Matter. We thank you for joining us. We hope that we gave you some drops that you can take out with you, share them with friends, invite your friends to come back and join you in watching the show Monday, Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, pretty much everywhere you want to find us. We're on all of the visual platforms, whether you go to YouTube, Instagram, I don't care where you go, we're going to be there. But not only are we on those video programs, we are also on your radio broadcast. You know, you can catch us on Spotify, you can go Sirius, wherever you want to listen to that radio. Monday, Wednesday, 6 p.m., 9 p.m. That's 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are on YouTube Evergreen. So come back and join us, hit those likes, send those messages, share, bring a friend back to watch us. We thank you for being with us for another week. This is Chatters That Matter. Let's talk about it. Thank you to our talent manager, Ricky Aaron, and to our producer, the awesome Hisham Elimati, Hurricane H. Chatters That Matter, let's talk about it with Jimmy Holland. Peace out.
Hello, I'm Jimmy Holland, and you have been listening to Chatters That Matter.